The sermon for today is based on the gospel reading from Luke, where we hear these words, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world." These are the signs that Jesus says will take place before our Lord comes again. Therefore, none of us have to worry about accidentally sleeping through our God's return. When he comes, you will know it. Creation itself will know it. Everyone will witness God's return when he comes in the fullness of his glory. Until then, creation will continue being a scary place to live in. Creation is unpredictable. Creation is filled with distress, fear, worrying, and foreboding, just as Jesus said. Of course, we know it wasn't always that way. There was a brief time in human history when creation was not affected by sin. There was no such thing as fear. There was no such thing as distress. There was no such thing as panic and worry. There was no such thing as those grueling battles with sin and temptation pulling you in directions you don't want to go in. Once upon a time, friends, God's creation was a perfect, blissful place to live in. That all changed, however, the moment Adam and Eve's teeth sunk into the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge. When they did that, paradise was no more. Because of man's disobedience, we now know things like fear, distress, panic, sickness, and death, all those symptoms of sin that we are all too familiar with. Because of man's transgression, our flesh is now beset with weaknesses of all sorts. Our first parents would stand before God, vainly clothed in fig leaves, and they would hear the Almighty say to them, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Cursed is the ground because of you." The curse of sin turned the paradise of Eden into a cesspool of sin that is in bondage to decay until our Lord comes again. Don't kid yourselves. The world is passing away. That's what St. John says in his first epistle. The great apostle Paul would write these words to the Romans. He would say, "The whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now." As you know, I recently witnessed the pains of childbirth, and I can tell you they are no fun, as most of you are fully aware of. The reason we have things like ground-shattering earthquakes is because of sin. The reason there are unpredictable tsunamis crashing into the coast in this world is because of sin. The reason why our flesh withers and decays like a flower in Texas heat is because of sin. And before our Lord comes again, you can bet things will get worse before they get better. Now, for the unbeliever, these signs and these judgments are every bit as fearful as they sound. The Almighty God, the consuming fire, who judges sinners, who condemns the ungodly but saves his people, will come again. And when he does, there will be no time for excuses, no plea deals, no bargaining, no trying to talk God out of his righteous judgments. No excuse for unrepentant, sinful behavior will stand before God. Anyone standing in the nakedness of unbelief without the robes of righteousness that God gives, for them, these signs, these judgments are every bit as terrifying as they sound. But for the believer, for the baptized, washed in the waters of rebirth and renewal, living in Christ by faith, for the believer, signs of this age coming to a close are a good thing. A good thing, you say? Yes, this is good because it means the kingdom of God is near. That's what our Lord says when these things are taking place. That means his kingdom is near. As bad as things might be, Christian, rejoice. The kingdom of God is near. And when God comes again in great power and in great glory, Your response is not to cower in fear or go run to the deepest, darkest corner you can find. Do not feel the need to scamper under your bed or hide your head in shame and flee to the woods when God comes again. No. Instead, hear these words from Jesus. And this is what he says to his people, his communion of saints. Our Lord says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Redemption. Not distress, but redemption is how we are to see our Lord's triumphant return. When God comes again to give his people a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to be with himself in heaven. Redemption, folks. Redemption, that's the final release from a world reeling and groaning under the weight of sin. Redemption, friends, that means eternal life without death. Yes, no more creaky knees, bad backs, heart disease, all the symptoms of sin. All of that is gone in redemption. Redemption means a reunion with all the saints who have died in Christ before us. Redemption is from God when the Son of Man returns in glory for you. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. During the Advent season, we look forward to this redemption that is ours in Christ, a Savior begotten of God from eternity and born of the Virgin Mary, a Savior who has given us his word. He will not leave us as orphans, but he will come again. And when he does, he will make everything right that has been broken by sin. Advent, therefore, is about our Lord's coming, which we look forward to at the celebration at Christmas, and that which we look forward to when our God comes again in great power and in great glory. The season of Advent is the precursor to the Christmas season, but it kind of already seems as if Christmas is already here. Following Thanksgiving, society seems to waste no time switching into that Christmas gear. Lights and decorations go up, Santa begins making appearances, all the hustle and bustle associated with the Christmas season picks up steam in Advent. I don't have any room to talk. If you walk into my house, you will see we are fully decorated and ready to go for Christmas. In our efforts to plan for the Christmas season and to work out all the details of traveling and cooking and shopping, it's easy. It's easy to fall into a frenzy. To fall into a frenzy of stress and worrying while forgetting about this season and what it means for us. If you're not careful, friends, you might wake up this season with a million different things on your mind, none of which have anything to do with your Lord and your God. Here's a tip from your pastor. Take time to enjoy Advent. Look forward to, but don't get in a hurry for Christmas. It will come in its own time. For now, let us ponder and celebrate the meaning of Advent and what it means to have a Savior who came into the world and who will come again for you. It's a sad thing when the cares and worries of this world weigh down on our hearts, and the peace and joy that we are supposed to know and feel is shrouded. And this peace and joy is ours because of the redemption that is freely yours in Jesus Christ. Indulging on the pleasures of this world, only to get sidetracked away from God, is a snare that is easy for any one of us to fall into. And the old Adam, the sinful flesh, is always going in that direction, pulling us away from our Lord and our God. Stay awake. Keep a watch on yourself. Hear the words of our Lord who warns us this. He says, stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, to stand before the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters in Christ, stay awake. Keep your eyes open. Do not get caught up in life's worries and pleasures that you forget the greatest gift and the greatest pleasure God has already given you in a Savior. Do not let an unpredictable creation take away the predictable word of God who says unto you, when he returns again in glory, straighten up, raise your heads, Your redemption is drawing near. Think about this. Suppose someone was to come to you out of the blue and say they want to start giving you an amount of money every month. Freely, unsolicited, they approach you. A contract is written and the payments begin. Every month you get an amount of money. This person never misses a payment. It's always for the exact amount. Months turn into years. And then one day, this person comes to you and says they are going away for an undisclosed amount of time. But don't worry, when they come back, they will finish paying you what they said they would pay you. Given this person's track record, you would take them at their word and believe he was going to do exactly what he said. This is a way of thinking about our Lord and our God, who is good to his word. God doesn't go back on his promises. God doesn't wake up one day and change the word that he has spoken to his people. And our Lord and our God, friends, he has an impeccable track record. When God said he was going to save his people from a relentless Egyptian army, he did it. When he said he would bring them through the muddy Jordan waters into the promised land, our Lord did it. From taking Noah and his family through the raging flood waters to making Abraham a father of many nations, when God said he would do those things, he did it. From telling Adam and Eve he will crush the serpent's head to ascending upon a cross bearing the sins of the world and paying for those sins by his blood. God has done it. And now when he tells us, when he returns again, straighten up and raise your heads, because that means redemption is near, he will do it. The heavens and the earth could fall away tomorrow. God's word endures forever. So stay awake. And yes, we wait. Yes, we anticipate our Lord's return. But even now, Christian, even now, we are not alone. God continues to give us everything we need to have the assurance of being his redeemed children. Right now, you have holiness by faith in the Holy One. Living in your baptism means you live in Christ. You live in those waters of washing and rebirth that are yours by being united to Christ by faith. Here is a meal that God gives to you, where it is not just mere food, but his body and his blood that he says is for the forgiveness of sins. These things keep us awake. These things strengthen and nourish us and prepare us not only for whatever the world has to throw at us, but living in Christ now means you will live with Christ for eternity. So yes, the world is a scary place, but not forever. Friends, the kingdom of God is near. In the meantime, continue hearing and receiving the gifts that God promises to give. His word, his sacraments, and finally know this. Whenever our God decides to return, straighten up, raise your heads, because that means your redemption is near. In the name of Jesus, amen.